I don't know about you guys, but though that's an old song, it never gets old. Never gets old. I remember a good friend of mine named Jack Allen. Y'all don't know this, but I wasn't brought up in church, per se. So when I got to church, I didn't know all these songs folks were singing. And that was one of them, and I remember one of the very first songs I learned on the guitar. If I've learned anything, I'm not sure if I have yet, but that I attempted to learn on the guitar was this song. I remember having that conversation with my buddy Jack, and of course, as I usually start most conversations, I was in the woods up against a tree about knee-deep in water. Jack had tears in his eyes, and he began to sing this song. He loved to sing. Some of you have met him. Y'all remember when the Stone Quartet came to our men's deal, he was the guy with the white beard, looked like Santa Claus. But Jack said, it all boils down to this, Kurt. He started saying, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how he could love someone like Jack Allen, a sinner who was condemned. And so when I started learning to play the guitar, I went to Jack. I said, Jack, I don't know that song. I know of that song. Could you help me? And he sat on his back. We had a swing in his backyard. We had lots of conversations about the Lord, and grace and mercy and forgiveness and all those things. And y'all pardon me. He sat there on that swing and he taught me that song. One day, he's 86 years old now, so I'm figuring he's going to beat me. Things go according to my plan. But one day he and I are going to sing that song around the throne. I believe that. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 17. I want to talk to you in the next few weeks about the topic or the subject of worship. I want you to understand something. Though we call this a time of worship, this is not really worship. It's definitely part of our worship. But to sing songs to God would probably fall more accurately into praise, adoration, things that we also see in Scripture that would then tie into our worship. But the word worship in itself, as I've already told you, the Greek meaning of that word is to kiss toward. It's to show affection to. And so as we look at that, I want us to examine worship in its right context. What we're going to see in Acts chapter 17 is a time where Paul's going to go to a place where there was all sorts of worship. Those of you who are here during our Wednesday night study, we talked about similar places that they had devoted to these gods, little g, lowercase g gods, that man had made up in their own mind of how God ought to be or what their thoughts were of God. And I want you to understand something today, that God has placed that desire. So when I look at a person who doesn't know Jesus and they're caught up in idolatry, we're going to see idolatry takes all sorts of shapes, sizes, and forms. But when I look at a person who doesn't know Christ and they're caught up in idolatry, sometimes that's the things they participate in. Sometimes that's their habits. Sometimes that's their expressions. Whatever it is, these people get caught up in some type of idolatry. Sometimes it's their children. We'll talk about that in a second. But they get caught up in idolatry, and I don't look at those people who don't know Christ and not have mercy on them, because I do, because I understand this, and I want you to understand that God has created us with the vacuum, for lack of a better term, inside of us that causes us to long to worship something. I'm going to show you, Paul even says that in Acts chapter 17 in a second. Now, until we know Christ, we really don't have a clear idea until He reveals Himself to us through His Holy Spirit, by grace through faith. And those of you who have been here long enough know that's the process of how things happen. But until this happens, it's just our feeble attempts to fill that void of worship inside of us. So as we look at this, I want to show you that there are those people, and there are those people in this time, and there are those people in our time, probably even in our midst, but they're still caught up in just settling for just worship in and of itself, that God created vacuum, and is really not true worship of God the Father, the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh, as we see Him referred to in Old Testament scriptures. So as we look at this, I want to clear some things up for you hopefully today. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at the objects of worship. And I want to show you the errant objects of worship that we as even well-meaning believers create that become idols in our lives so that you can avoid those things. And then what I want to do is I want to take a few minutes and just teach you about how to avoid errancy in your worship of the one true God. How many of you understand we serve the one true capital G God? And how many of you understand that He is one? I'm going to show you why that's important in just a second, because I know there are a lot of people who don't believe in the Trinity. I hope you're not here, and I hope if you are here that you leave here believing that God is one, revealed in three. The greatest explanation of the Trinity that I ever received was this: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one. Now, you want to see that straight on? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one. A lot of people think they get all mixed up about the Trinity. I'm not going to go into a whole lesson on the Trinity here today, though I would love to, and I'm probably going to go there a little bit. But a lot of people think that the Trinity is 1 plus 1 plus 1. But we know that's not true. That equals 3. The Trinity is more like 1 times 1 times 1, which equals. So think of it like that. Think of it like this when we get to the part talking about the Trinity so that you're not confused, because some of you may come from a background where you had a guy stand in the pulpit and beat the pulpit and say you can't believe in the Trinity because God is one, right? Think of it like this. Kirk. Everybody know me? You don't know me, I'm Kirk. Wow, put that with a nickel, you have 5 cents. But here's the thing, for the sake of this conversation, I'm Kirk. But I'm also a pastor, right? I really am, believe it or not. No tie, shirts untucked, all the things I get all the time when they look at you. I say, y'all offer a minister's discount because I take whatever I can get. They're like, where's the minister? I've actually had them ask, because hotels sometimes offer these things, so that I've actually had them ask, do you have some kind of identification card? Like, dude, they don't issue that. I don't carry my ordination certificate around with me. But I promise you, I really am that guy. But the thing is, I'm Kirk. That's me, but I'm also Pastor Kirk. But I'm also Husband Kirk, right? Not good at either one of those, right? We have several witnesses who testify to that. But then I'm also Dad, right? So that you can understand before we get into that later on, I promise this is a preface to what we're going to get to in a little while, but I want to give you a heads up so you can be pondering this for a second. Pastor Kirk, still Kirk. Husband Kirk, still Kirk. Dad Kirk, still Kirk. All one, right? They're all inside of this guy. Now, my roles in each individual role is different, correct? Right? Because my role as a pastor can't go lap over into my role as a husband. I get in trouble. I take the word and say, woman, I got a right to rebuke you in the name of Jesus. She'll be like, I got a right to slap you. No. Though she is one of the sheep of this congregation, I have to separate those roles. I can't have the same distinguished role with my children as I do with my wife. Right? They put people in jail for that. Just use your imagination. Some of you are going to click about halfway through and you go, ah! So what I want you to understand is there still is one God, and we are required by God, by His law, by His commands, by Jesus while He was on this earth, to love that one God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to see that the other persons of God are going to play a significant role in how that happens. We're going to look at that at the end. I've given you the end at the beginning so that at the end we won't have to do this again, okay? Everybody got that? But what I want to do before we get there, I want to talk about the errant objects of worship. Let's look at Acts chapter 17, verse 16. We're going to read to verse 34. It says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. Now understand something, folks. Pay attention who he's reasoning with. He's reasoning with religious people who got sidetracked by idols. Did y'all read that? Okay, so pay attention. He says, a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. I love guys who are just looking for an argument. Right? Just walk away from those guys. Some of them ask, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign little g gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. That's what he's supposed to preach. Did you know that's what we're supposed to preach? No matter where we find ourselves. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting?" Why did they do this? Because they were interested in all this stuff. These people were polytheists. They would accept everything. Okay? They were the liberals of our day that say, "No, hold on, guys. Wait a second. You Christians are really closed-minded in your thinking because you say Jesus is the only way. And how come there can't be several different ways to the same God?" You guys have heard all of this. Listen, that's heresy. Understand that. Everybody get that. Don't put a sticker on the back of your car that it represents every religion thinking that they're going to the same place with little Darwin legs walking them there. They're not going to get there. So the fact of the matter is this. We're going to show you in just a second. There's only one way to worship the Father. That's through the Son, period. Then they took him and brought him to this meeting where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting?" Verse 20 says, "You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who live there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas." This is what these guys live for. They're your internet friends. You want to get in religious debates on the internet. Paul then stood up in the meeting, and he said this, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship," underline that word object, it's going to play an important role in the rest of this message, "I even found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you." Paul was wise, wasn't he? He said, "You're already kind of seeing what you need to see, but I'm going to tell you that this thing, this God that you're calling unknown, I'm going to show you that He is known. And you can be known by Him. And in fact, you are known by Him." Watch what he says. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and He is not served by humans as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." Watch what he says next. "From one man He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live." He said, this God, He is creator of all. He made one man. His name is Adam. We know that. He said, and from Adam, the whole world was created. He did it for a purpose. Watch this in verse 27. "God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him." I told you there's a vacuum in all of us, and God put it there. There's a vacuum in us. There's an inward desire in us that we don't even know what to call it that causes us to want to worship. Because I promise you right now, even if you're not worshiping the one true God through Jesus Christ, you're worshiping something. Everybody is. He is not far from each one of us. He said He would hope that you find Him even though He's not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. He said, you're getting there. Some of you have kind of grasped the idea. How many of you know we can grasp the idea? We can almost get there, but without the resurrection of Jesus Christ and His atonement, we can't. "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone." They were making these images. "An image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance." He said, in the past, God let this slide. "But now He commands all people everywhere to repent." What are they repenting of? Sin, idolatry, the sin that we were born into this world with. I promise you, every one of you in here today were born with a tendency to commit idolatry. We don't talk about it, do we? We will. He said, "For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed." That would be Jesus. Everybody understand that? "He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him from the dead." That's how we know He's talking about Jesus. "When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered," of course. Don't they always? Watch this. I'm not responsible for those who sneer. "But others said, 'We want to hear you again on the subject.' At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Demarius, and a number of others. People got saved because the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus Christ was preached. And they found out that day that the one unknown God that they were looking for was the one true God. And He saved them just as He saved many of you. Let's talk about this a second so that we can avoid the errors that come with worship in our Christian life, in the world that we live in. Because I know this. None of you are going to stand before some type of totem pole or some type of brass fixture or some type of golden calf and bow down and worship them. How many of you understand idolatry is so much bigger than just that, according to what Paul just said? Idolatry is when you take that God-given desire in you to show affection to the one true God. Pay attention to this. And you place that affection elsewhere. Wherever you're placing that affection becomes an idol, and you are committing the sin of idolatry. Can everybody believe that? Because that's what the Word teaches. I'm going to show you this. The errant objects of our worship. I said, pay attention to that word object. Because Paul used it. He said, these are objects of worship. You create objects of worship for yourself, I assure you. So do I. So have I. As we look at this, I want you to hopefully repent of those errant objects of worship. How can an object be errant? I'm going to show you how, and then we're going to talk about how to avoid these errant objects. Number one, an errant object of worship is this: things made by man. Things made by man. Man's own creation. How many of you understand? There are things that man has made that we worship. I.e. this. The NFL. The NBA. ESPN. And so on and so... Wait, HGTV. TV in general. Now listen, nobody leave here and say, well, Kirk says if you have a TV, you're wrong. I say this. If your affections are placed on that, and your affections for those things are greater than your affection for the one true God, that is idolatry. I can't make it any nicer than that. So the thing is, man can make things that before you know it, man is worshiping. Hunting. Fishing. Now listen, I'm preaching to the choir, I promise you. There's ever been a guy who's prone to worshiping man-made activities like hunting and fishing. I'm that guy. But I've had to learn in my life that when that thing becomes my passion, let's talk about the word passion for a second, because our passion is where all of our affection goes, the majority of it. When that thing becomes my passion, God will not share a seat with anything else. Are you listening to me? Therefore, I have fallen off into idolatry, and I am worshiping something other than the one true God who sent His Son Jesus to die and shed His blood for me. So man-made things can be objects or errant objects of our worship. The second errant object, not just things made by man, how about things made by God? You know there are people, tree huggers, who worship God's creation. In fact, the Word of God tells us there's going to come a time where they would rather worship the creation than worship the Creator. I'm going to say this, liberals, get mad at me. If the ozone totally dissolves, God doesn't. Burn your bottles. Only playing. Oh, the recyclers just got mad at me. I'm just saying that probably, they're talking about all the bottles that are clogging up the earth, right? Just burn them and they're not here anymore, right? All the liberals are mad at me. It won't be the first time. It won't be the last. You stick around, I promise. But they worship God's creation. Do you know there are people that worship this earth? There are guys right now. Promise you, there are guys right now that I know are in a tree. And if I said, man, we sure do miss you at church. And he'll say this, man, I was worshiping all of God's creation this morning. Heard him say it. I was worshiping God by watching that beautiful deer standing out there. Did you know God created us as a congregation so that we can come together and pour our affections on Him? You know that's why He's put this family together? I promise you, a man can hunt every day except Sunday and live through it. He can't. Because Sunday is that day we ought to come together and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ought to celebrate it with every ounce of energy we have. We ought to lay our affections at His feet. But there are guys who will say, man, my church, you've heard it? My church is the front of this bass boat. Out there in the lake God created. Well, if you're on Rayburn, God didn't create that lake. Man did. So quit lying. That's a man-made reservoir, in case you didn't notice that big dam where all that water was flowing out of. But people say, I'm worshiping because my focus is on the things God created. Let me help you out. If you are worshiping the created things instead of the Creator, you are in error in your worship. And I wish I could make that nice. I wish I could make that easier. But I know this. I've been there. It's a hard thing to swallow. It's a hard thing to swallow. To know that I'm in the midst of idolatry and I'm trying to justify it just because God created that duck that I'm trying to kill. Or that fish that I'm trying to catch. Or that deer that I'm pursuing to no avail. So we have to be careful. All these guys are sitting here right now know what they're saying. Man, I wish you'd wait until after hunting season to get on this message. Been there, done that, sat in your place. Things made by man can be errant objects of worship. Things made by God. Watch this. Things made by God for man. Things made by God for man. The things God has made for you to enjoy. Those things can get a hold of you, can't they? You know why? The reason I say that is because guess what? God doesn't mind us enjoying this life. But God does not want our passion to be about enjoying this life. He wants our passion to work, to be worshiping Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving our neighbor as ourselves, because that's true worship, isn't it? That's what He desires. And so we have to understand there are things made by God for us, but those things are not worthy of worship. All my passion, all my affection. And then there are the things made by man for God. Things made by man for God. You ever been to a Catholic church? You know what I'm talking about. They make all kind of graven images. If you're Catholic here, let me just tell you this. The Jesus on your cross ain't on no cross anymore. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God according to Scripture. Get Him off the cross because He went to the grave and He rose from the grave. You keep Him on the cross, you don't recognize the resurrection enough, in my opinion. So as we look at that, all the people are like, man, they're coming up their jewelry. The thing is, there are some things that man can make for God. Altars. Stacks of rocks. Let me tell you what, you ever start worshiping this stack of rocks, you've missed the point. The stack of rocks is to point us to the one true God, period. We're not worshiping a stack of rocks, it's just a stack of rocks. When God commanded people in Scripture to build altars, He didn't command them to build altars so that people could worship the altar. He commanded them to build altars so that it would point to the one true God. So understand this. We know there's an instance in Scripture, number 21, you might remember this. People were getting bit by snakes. God told Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make this pole. I want you to put the serpent on the pole. And when you raise that pole, the people look at the pole, they'll be healed from their snake bite. Good thing, since people are getting bit by deadly serpents, right? And that was cool with God. Told Moses to do it. But what it should have done, it should have been, hey, this causes us to see our one true God who has provided us with this resource so that we don't die from the snake bite, so we worship the one true God. But here's the problem with that. A lot of you miss this because you don't read the rest of the story. When you get over to 2 Kings in chapter 1, when the idols were being destroyed, guess what it says they had to destroy too? The serpent that Moses put on the pole, because at that point in time, many years had passed. At that point in time, that serpent on the pole was still around, and you know what the people had done? Go read it. The people had made it an idol and had to be destroyed. That was something that God told man to make. Man should have responded in worshiping the one true God because of what He provided. Eventually, it fell into the fact that they were worshiping this thing. Don't believe me? Well, check it out. 2 Kings 1, verse 8. If you want to check it out. I'm sorry, verse 18. If you want to check that out and read the text all around it, you'll find out that I'm telling you the truth. Things made by God for man. Things made by man for God. Pay attention. Church buildings. Cathedrals. Now pay attention, this is a tool. Okay? You can praise God for all of this, but pay attention to me. Never let your praise go to this. Everybody understand? I don't have a problem with you praising God for what He's provided, but understand this. If our provider wants to take it away today, He can. And if He takes it away today, guess what we're going to do? We're still going to praise Him. Why? He's the one true God. So we see this in our worship. We can make some errors, can't we? Things made by man, we can worship them. Things made by God, we can fall into that trap, can't we? Mamas, who your whole life is your kids. Can't stand to hear mom say that. They're my whole life. You better be careful. You better be careful, because I promise you this, you pay close attention to me. God has always been in the business of taking those idols and removing them every chance He gets. You say, well, that's cruel. Why is it cruel? A sovereign God said, worship Him and Him alone. Oh, it got deathly quiet up in here, didn't it? Do you know what I'm talking about? My kids are my life. If your kids are your life, that means the one true God is not. And He's not going to take back seat to anyone or anything in the life of one of His followers. You just know that. It can be your children. It can be your spouse. It can be your preacher. Let me tell you something right now. Do not follow me. I will lead you down roads where God wouldn't even walk down, I assure you. Don't follow me. Follow Him. Worship Him. I am just a tool. I am a messenger. Your children, tools. They are great blessings that show us the love of a father. See them for that. Thank God for what He's given you in those blessings. But no, they came directly from Him, and He deserves all the praise and honor and glory, not them. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, because churches don't want to talk about this because people may not come back. I'm not saying don't love your children, so when you leave here today and y'all get in that conversation on the way to Luby's, that preacher just told me not to love my kids. That's not what I said, so let's clear it up right now. I hate when people twist what I say, post it on the internet. It's not what I said. I said if you're more passionate about your children than you are about God the Father, you have an issue of idolatry. You ready? Buckle your seatbelt. If you are more concerned with getting them to whatever activity it is, I always pick on the sports family because I was always in danger of that, but I'll say whatever activity. Because I promise you, I walked a thin line at times. But whatever activity, if your kid's in the band, if you are more concerned with their getting to that activity than you are getting them to church on a Sunday morning to worship the one true God, you are committing idolatry, and watch this, you're teaching the next generation to do the same. You say, well, I'm just never coming to this church again. That's just condemnation. It's not condemnation, it's truth. And the truth, according to what the Word of God says, will set you free. You are choosing condemnation by continuing to walk in idolatry. Let me tell you something about your children. What is God's will for them? Watch this. Pay attention. It will be. It will be. Point them in His direction and let them follow Him. And let that be their greatest concern. Seeking after and worshiping the one true God. Period. Wherever that takes them, He'll be pleased because they're following Him. That's true worship. So pay attention to this. Things made by God for man, things made by man for God. I was in a church one time where they worshipped everything in that church, man. They put labels on it. Worshipped every dead person who ever donated anything. In memory of, in honor of. Listen, everything we have here is not in honor of anyone except God the Father in heaven. It's all His. It all belongs to Him. When we opened this building, we dedicated it to Him. Why? He is the provider of all. It took every single one of you. It took those of you who have a lot of money to that widow who had that mite. And I promise you, that widow's mite was used in the hand of God to do great things, and it always will be. There's no greater gift when that gift comes from sacrifice, out of obedience to what God, the one who you ought to be worshiping, tells you to do. It all belongs to Him. So how do we avoid this? Because I know right now some of you are way uncomfortable. I can see it on your face. How do we avoid this? How do we avoid errancy in our worship? Everybody know what I mean when I say errancy? Error? Misplacement of our worship? How do we avoid this? Let me help you. I'll help you as quick as I can as we get finished this morning. Number one, understand, realize this. There is only one acceptable object of worship. There is only one acceptable object of worship. Everybody get that? Write that down. I know because some of you are already confused. We're going to go back to my lesson that I just taught you. What about the Son and the Holy Spirit? Right? They're still part of that one. Understand. We're going to see how they operate. But understand, if we're going to avoid errancy in our worship and not put worship toward the wrong object, you got to understand there's only one acceptable object of worship, and that is God the Father, the Creator, Jehovah, Yahweh, whichever name you choose to use that we find that they labeled Him in Scripture. He is the one true, capital G, God, and all of our passion and all of our affection ought to be pointed toward Him. Why? That's what Jesus did. Hello? So if you want to avoid errancy in the object of your worship, make sure that your object is not a created thing by man, not a created thing by God, not a created thing by man for God, and not a created thing by God for man. Make sure that the object of your worship is not these things, but the object of worship is He who is, the great I Am. See, He doesn't take exception to any of this. Did you know that? You know, when He said in Exodus, He told us, we're going to look at it in detail in just a second, but He told us, don't have any other gods before Me. Don't have any other gods before Me. He is the one true God, and He deserves to be the object of all of our worship. If you're worshiping a denomination, you're in trouble. I have people all the time, well, I don't know, I'm not sure what y'all are. And I'm Methodist. Here's the thing. I'm a worshiper of the one true God, and I don't want to put another title on that. Because if I put a title on that, you might get confused and think I'm following something that I ought not be following. Because guess what? I used to have a title on that. I used to be in that circle. They said, well, I want to say that I'm a worshiper of God the Father first, but secondly, I'm a Southern Baptist. So now God's sharing my affection, my passion with something. God's not going to share my passion and my affection with my system of beliefs. Please understand that. Are you getting me? People get all bent out of shape about this. Denominations and denominationalism is killing worship of the one true God. You know why? Because we say this, we can't worship the one true God with someone else because they believe different than we do about secondary issues. Then what you're doing, you're saying, I'll worship the one true God with someone as long as they do it my way. So now what you've done, you know what you've done? What you've done is you've created a little idol called your own system of beliefs. And you say, I can't follow Jesus unless He fits in my little system of beliefs. I can't worship the Father with another believer unless they fall into my system of beliefs. And so therefore, your system of beliefs trumps, watch me, trumps what God commanded us to do. Unity in the body. Wow, isn't that interesting? So you choose idolatry. You choose idolatry. I know guys, they won't fellowship with Pentecostals or Assemblies of God because they believe in speaking in tongues. You know what I do? I believe in worshiping the one true God alongside of them, and then when we get to that topic, I believe in taking the word of the one true God and say, let's talk about this. Here is the way I see it from God's point of view. And I point them all the way back to Him. What do you say we go on what God says about it, not what Brother Lovejoy taught you? Oh, that'll mess some folks up, right? All of you. There's one acceptable object of worship, God. Period. Write that down. Number two, there's only one acceptable mediator which allows us to fellowship with God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son. I want you to pay attention to our lesson that we had to preface all this because we're going to get back to it in just a second. Don't forget all that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you have your Bible, flip over there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Because all you people, I know what you're doing right now, man. Well, I've been in church for a while, and man, there's instances where the Word's telling us to worship God. Then there's instances where I see in heaven that they're worshiping the Lamb. I'm thoroughly confused. I thought we're only supposed to worship one. The two are one. The three we're going to see in a moment are one. That's why God established the Trinity, so that you don't have to violate the principles that He put into effect of worshiping only one God. Watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 2. As we look at our mediator, aren't you glad you have a mediator? How many of you understand? Watch this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men. The testimony given in its proper time. God's Word right there tells us there's one mediator between God and between man. What is that telling us? I want to help you out. Watch, I'll break it down simplistically. You can't worship the one true God unless you go through the one true God revealed in the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself, John 14, 6, says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, say it with me, but by me. Why did this have to happen this way? So that we would place our affections in the one true God, leaning only on the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the second part of that one true God. Understand, the Trinity plays such a significant role in our worship if we'll see it for what it is. For Jesus Christ is our mediator. So we see this, there's only one acceptable object of worship. There's only one acceptable mediator which allows us to fellowship and to worship God. I'm thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ because He allows me to commune with God the Father. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with saying thank you, Jesus, because when I say thank you, Jesus, I'm also saying thank you, Father. We're going to see when I pray and I am referring to the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity, not an it. When I say thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading me the direction you led me by your Spirit, through my Spirit, thank you that you did that. I'm also saying thank you to the one true God. There's no error involved there. That's what the United Pentecostal people, they get all upset. Well, if God's one, how can God be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Just like that. Because we couldn't even communicate through the mediator, Jesus Christ, if He wasn't part of the triune God. But He is part of the triune God, who we can communicate through because He is our mediator. In fact, the Word of God says He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God forever and making intercession for me. Thank you, Jesus. Because people get confused. Well, when I pray, sometimes I say, Jesus, thank you for what you've done. Did Jesus do it or did God the Father do it? Yes. Don't confuse yourself. That's like saying, did Kirk the husband do it or did Kirk the pastor do it? Kirk did it! Right? Don't get confused about that. It's very simple. Man, in their efforts to look smart, have confused people about the Trinity. Remember, one, two, three, one. Boom shakalaka. Look at the theologians. There's only one acceptable mediator. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to avoid errancy in your worship, make sure that when you are worshiping the one true God, you are realizing that the only reason that that is possible is because of the sacrifice and atoning work of Jesus Christ. Without that, you are separated from God because of sin. Thank you, Jesus, that I can worship the one true God because of what you've done by shedding your holy blood and washing me of my filth. Thank you, Lord. He's that one true mediator. Y'all didn't know y'all were going to learn something this morning. This is teaching in case you hadn't figured it out yet. And then we go on to something different. There's only one acceptable object of worship. There's only one acceptable mediator. And there's only one acceptable access to that mediator. Pay attention to what I say. If you claim that you have accessed Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit did not come to you and usher you out of darkness into light and into a relationship with Jesus, which then goes along and coincides into a relationship with the Father, if that did not happen, you do not worship the one true God. Because I know what happened. Some of you are brought up in churches where they said this. If ye want to go to heaven, just pray this prayer and do the ABCs of Christianity. You cannot find that in Scripture anywhere. nowhere. Absolutely, positively, I've looked upside and down. Felt bad because I was a Baptist and couldn't believe what they believed. Because I know this, Jesus himself taught, unless the Spirit draws you, you don't come. So many of you, you've made these false professions and you're holding on to this false assurance that you're truly a believer. And here's the thing, the one true God by the Spirit of Jesus Christ that's left here on the earth to draw men unto the Father, listen, you've never heard from Him. Oh, you heard from some slick-talking preacher who told you it was as easy as ABC. I'll tell you something, it's not as easy as ABC according to what Jesus said. Jesus said this, if any man will come after me, we just talked about it a few weeks ago, you got to deny yourself, and you got to take up your cross and be willing to die every single day. That's true following Jesus Christ in relationship with God the Father. So if you want to avoid error in your worship, understand, you cannot access Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You cannot access the Father without Jesus as a mediator. So you see how the three work as one? Because they are one. Don't ever forget that. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus that He left here. How many of you understand? When He told His disciples, I'm going to send you a comforter, another comforter. And the word is Allah. So that means just like me. How is it just like Him? How many of you know? This is just flesh and blood. Who we are is the Spirit which drives us. Jesus sent that back on the day of Pentecost to His church. Understand that. And it is that same Spirit that when we preach the gospel message, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Him, it is that same Holy Spirit who draws you out of darkness and into light to receive what God the Father has prepared for you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And if you try to access worshiping the one true God any other way than the Spirit leading you to Jesus and Jesus leading you to the Father, if you try to access that in any other way, I promise you this, you are in error of falling into idolatry. Because some of you right now, you have been worshiping for years the idea of Jesus Christ. You have been worshiping for years the historical fact of Jesus Christ. You have been worshiping for years the denominations who claim the name Jesus Christ. You have been worshiping the organization of the church for years. You have been worshiping some ritual that you've gone through that you think somehow is going to be credited to you as righteousness before God. And let me tell you, anything that you can do will not be credited before God as righteousness on your behalf, because righteousness comes only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the mediator, the atoner. So as we look at this, I pray that you would get some clarity in what I'm trying to tell you, because I want you to hear this last point. I want you to hear this last point clearly. We've seen there's only one acceptable object of worship. There's only one acceptable mediator which allows you to fellowship with God the Father through worship. There's only one acceptable access to this mediator, which is by His Holy Spirit drawing you out of darkness and into light. And pay attention to this. Get ready. All other objects or thought accesses become idols and violate God's command. All other ones become idols and they violate God's command. You say, well, what do you mean violate God's commands? Let's go all the way back to Exodus chapter 20. Genesis, Exodus, you're there. Go to chapter 20. And as we read this, I want you to examine your heart and say, where do my affections lie? What is my passion? What is the thing that drives me on this earth? If it's church, that's an idol in your life. If it's Kirk spurring you on, that's an idol in your life. Remove me. I don't want to be an idol in anyone's life, because I promise you this, I am not worthy of deity, but the one who I follow and I serve, He is true deity, worthy of all the praise. What He said. Exodus chapter 20 says this, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He identifies Himself for them. I'm the one who did all this stuff for you. He's getting their attention. I'm the one. Why? Because immediately, you know what happened? They went back. Okay, He's the one. He's the one who spoke to me from the burning bush. When He revealed Himself to me, Moses is going, okay, this is all making sense now. He's the one who led us out. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Watch what he says here. You shall have no other gods before, and a better translation for that is beside me. You shall have no other gods beside me. What did I tell you? He's not going to share a seat with anyone. He's not going to share a seat with your denomination. He's not going to share a seat with your pastor. He's not going to share a seat with your children, your wife, your husband, your ESPN, your NFL, your NBA, your whatever else we can list that falls in all the categories that we said are errant in regard to worship. He's not going to sit beside those. Why? He's the one true God, and he's the only one worthy of our worship, our affection, and our praise. He hasn't changed his mind. Everybody understand that? He hasn't changed his mind. You know what's important about this? People say, well, when we look at the Ten Commandments, I get real nervous. Listen, understand this. In every one of those Ten Commandments that you've blown, Jesus has made a way. That second part of the Trinity, God Himself has made a way. Don't miss that. He's made a way for you to allow all of your affection and all of your passion to rest on the one true God. So you shall have no other gods before me. And he goes on and he says, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything. Watch this. In heaven. Can I help some of you? I want to help you. How many of you know where Jesus is right now? Where is he? Tell me, Jesus, the man Jesus, according to the Word of God, where is he right now? He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. For you to decorate and engrave an image of him and to slap it on a cross and wear it on your neck or slap it on a wall and pray to it, or to do the same for his mama who was nothing more than a vessel, let me tell you something. You are committing idolatry. Please pay attention to this. Why would Jesus never be on a cross that I have in my possession? Because Jesus is not on the cross. He says, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above, on the earth, beneath, or in the waters below. Why is he saying this? Because he knew people would worship these things. People would worship these things. People would go to these things. They would pay homage to these things. They would light candles before these things. They would say all kind of prayers before these things. He said, don't have these things. He said, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. Okay, here's the thing. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. So let's clear this up. Is it wrong for you to have a picture or an artist's rendition of Jesus at your home? Watch, pay attention. Absolutely not. If you don't worship or bow down to him. Here's the problem I have. You know what they do every time they're done with the rosary? They kiss that Jesus on the cross, don't they? What did I tell you worship meant? To kiss toward. I promise. Go look it up in the Greek. It is to kiss toward. It is to show affection to. When they get through going through all their beads and they get them, you just worshiped a graven image. Be very careful. Now, is there anything wrong with an artist's rendition of what they feel Jesus looked like? Watch this. Absolutely, positively not. That's man's creativity. Here's the danger of it. The danger is it could cause someone to worship that picture or that thing. So there's nothing wrong, so don't go home today and have a big bonfire and burn all of your thought pictures of Jesus. I'll help you, though. Jesus was not a white guy with blue eyes and blonde hair. So that's a very bad artist's rendition of that. So when we talk about art, is there anything wrong with art? Because I knew what was going to happen, but if I don't cover this topic, you're all going to leave here and say, the preacher said it's wrong to have any image of Jesus. No, it's not mad. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. What happens is what the Word of God said, if you bow down and you worship these things, you kiss toward these things, then we have a problem. So we continue to read, you shall not bow down to them or worship, kiss toward, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He said, I'm not going to share your affection. If you're worshiping the world because you're so wrapped up in the world, it's idolatry. And you know what? God makes that very clear. He's not going to share with your love for the world. In fact, he says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. If you haven't discovered in your Christian life, led by the Holy Spirit, that this is a time of passing. We are passing through this to get to where God wants us to be. If you haven't discovered that, you need to discover that today, or you will, I promise you, you will fall into the danger of falling in love with all the things of this world. Your big bank account, your big home, your big car, your retirement that you may never, ever, ever get to see. But your children will fight over it, I assure you. Punishing the children for their sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Man, what an awesome statement. He said, I'm going to bless the generation who teaches against idolatry. Y'all listening? When you worship your Christmas tree this Christmas, or the little man in the suit. Oh no, is he going to spoil it? Alive, you know, I don't care. The children will one day. When they're so confused about who the one true God is. But that's on you. Hey, you let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does in your life. I don't have to be him. God tells us that when we have our affections, our passions placed anywhere other than Him, be those things, graven images, be those man-made things, God-made things, ideas in our head, philosophies of man. When those things are what drive us, He says, you're committing idolatry. So as we look at how to avoid these errors, is my object the one true God? Examine your heart and see. Is the object of your worship the one true God? And is the object of your worship the one true God because of Jesus Christ, the only atoning sacrifice and the only mediator between you and God? Because there's a lot of people who are going to spend eternity in hell because they believed in God. How many of you know that? How many of you know people who you know they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they'll quickly testify to you, I believe in God. Can I help you? You got to have a really, really small IQ to not believe in God. Because just look at the things around you. You can tell someone or something created this. So just the principle that there is a higher being, it doesn't take a whole lot to recognize that, does it? In fact, Scripture says even the demons of hell believe and they tremble. Why? Because they know the capacity of the one true God. They know the judgment that awaits them from the one true God. So understand. Belief in God is not worship. Worship only comes through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that relationship with Jesus Christ only comes through the Holy Spirit allowing you to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and being that access that allows you to walk into rightness with God through Jesus. So it works like this so that you understand. Maybe today you say, hey, I'm really not a worshiper of the one true God, and I realize that. I fell for some crock that some preacher told me one time that all I had to do is pray this little prayer. Little prayers send people straight to hell. Period. Because if God could have saved you through a little prayer, He sure wouldn't have come as a form of His only begotten Son to die on a cross for you. But He did. So you're here today and you say, man, I'm in danger. I'm in danger of idolatry. In whatever capacity the Holy Spirit shows you, you're in danger of in this message today. But if you're here and you say, I'm in danger because I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, in just a moment, when the Holy Spirit calls you out of darkness and into light, I can't even begin to explain to you what that's all about because it's so supernatural beyond anything that I can even comprehend. But you'll know, I guarantee you. He's going to call your name individually. He's going to call you out of darkness and into light to receive the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you to have. Why? So that you can finally in your life worship the one true God. You can come into His presence whole and complete and cleansed, free from all sin. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? As our musicians and our prayer partners begin to come right now, I pray where you are right now in your life, you would do two things this morning in your heart and in your mind. Number one, search your heart to see if you truly are of faith in Jesus Christ. See if you truly are one of His chosen, called by the Holy Spirit, children of God, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I promise you this, when you ask God through His Spirit if that defines you, I promise you He's going to answer you one way or the other. I pray that if in that answer, I pray that if He gives you that opportunity to receive grace and mercy and forgiveness and draw you out of this life of darkness, I pray you respond and surrender today and become a follower
and a worshiper of the one true God. In fact, if you're here and you say, Kirk, that's me. Man, I've been following church. I've been following religion. I've even worshiped God's creation. But I know this. I haven't come to God through Jesus Christ personally in my life. I've never repented of my sin and trusted Him and Him alone as that mediator and that atonement for the sin that's in my life. And I feel His Holy Spirit right now speaking to my heart, showing me you're that one that preacher's talking about. You say, that's me. Ma'am, sir, that's me. Would you raise your hand right now? That's me. I need Jesus to save me this morning. I need Him to wash me, cleanse me, and forgive me of all my sin, because I don't want to be a violator of worshiping the one true God. And I know this, that the only way I can worship the one true God is through His Son, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for my sin. I'm willing to lay my life down, turn from my sin, and to turn to Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. You say, that's me. Would you slip up your hand right now? Anyone like that? Says, I need to be forgiven of my sin, and I need Jesus to save me today. Anyone here like that? You're here today and you say, Kirk, I know I'm a worshiper of the one true God. Based on what I've seen today, there are some definite idols that have crept into my life. Let me say this to you. It can happen to every single one of you in this lifetime because you're driven by flesh if you're not careful. You say, I've let some idols develop or begin to develop in my life. I need to repent of those things today. Those idols can be anything as we talked about. Things made by man. Things made by God. Things made by God for man. Things made by man for God. It can fall into any of those categories. You say, Kirk, I know that I don't need to hold on to these things. I'm willing and ready to repent of these things and to release these things to God. Confess them as what they are. Listen, don't go up here and joke around with God. God, I have sin in my life, and the sin is idolatry, and I define it and I identify it exactly how you define it and how you identify it. God, remove these idols from my life. Lord, let my focus, my affection, my passion be on the one true God who I access only through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, led by His Holy Spirit who lives in me. If you say, that's me, preacher, listen, the altars are open. These people are down front to pray with you, to pray for you. If these people down front need to get on the altar, then they need to get on the altar. If any of our musicians need to do that, it's time that God clean up the idolatry that's found in His house among His people. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to break those chains in your life today? Be obedient to what He says to your heart.
Are you hurting and broken?